Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, welcome into the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. We are on location on this Friday at Inbound Brewing, just a couple of blocks away from Target Field. We're getting ready for the red-hot Minnesota Twins to take on the San Francisco Giants. The Twins have won five consecutive games, and they're playing good baseball. Tougher opponent this weekend, but happy to be here at Inbound. And the last time that we were here, producer Christopher Tubbs was on location with me, and Josh Wheeler's back at the station. Chris was drinking a beer, so he was getting intoxicated on the airwaves, but that's not going to happen tonight because it's like 6:05.
So?
Yeah, it's not late enough for you to do that. So I just went ahead and nipped that in the bud yesterday. We talked about that on air.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you missed that part of the show.
Yes, thank you for reining me in.
You ready for the game, man?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm excited to see the Twins and the way that they're playing. But I'm also excited to see a team in the Giants that we don't get to see very often.
Agreed, yes.
And that I think a team that maybe goes overlooked in the National League West when you talk about, apparently the LA Dodgers are a thing, I don't know. you've got San Diego, you got Arizona. There's the Giants, and they're a good team. This is a good baseball team coming into Target Field.
Yep. All right, so we'll get to the Twins here in a little bit as we take you up to the pregame. Pregame starts at 6:30. John Vitez with the pregame, abbreviated late show, and then we'll have the game, first pitch at 7:10, and then we will do final pitch after the game a little bit later tonight. But I actually wanted to start the show with talking about the Wolves. Yes, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who evened up the series last night at a game apiece against the Golden State Warriors. I am feeling extremely frustrated today because I love that the Wolves won, clearly, as the season ticket holder for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they dominated last night. But Draymond Green continues to be in the spotlight with his actions and with his mouth, okay? And that bugs me, okay? And this is the reason why. Draymond Green doesn't get it, and he is a guy that I would say that right now, and at least maybe for the last 5, 6, 7 years, maybe a little bit longer, when we talk about sports athletes that I just can't stand, he is definitely at the top of the list. If he's not at the top, he's in the top three. And it's because he is an individual that does not want to be accountable for his actions. And that bugs me till no end. We should be sitting here today talking about the Wolves dominating, which they did last night. They never trailed in that game. They jumped out to a 13-0 lead and never truly were threatened. Yeah, there was a point in time in the game when the Warriors cut the lead down to like 6 or 7. But they never were really threatened that much because they were behind by so many points. And the fact of the matter is the Wolves won by 24 points last night. But we wake up to, and not just wake up to, but it was also, you know, we saw it last night in the postgame. Draymond Green did not address and go in front of the media members in the media room. What he did was he didn't field any questions. He made a statement in the locker room, and then he hustled out of the locker room. And we know what took place. Anybody that watched the game saw that Draymond Green was being Draymond Green. During the course of last night's game, you've got Naz Reid that's playing and pressuring up on him and playing really good defense and maybe really in his space. But Draymond being Draymond, he throws an elbow. And it was not a basketball play. And eventually he gets tagged with a flagrant foul, which is his fifth on the year. Or on the for the postseason, not on the year. He's got a lot more over the course of the season. But his fifth, if it gets to 7, then unfortunately for him, he's going to be suspended for a game. So what does he do? He gets the flagrant. He gets upset. He should have been tossed because they give him so much leeway because he's Draymond Green. And he goes to the sidelines, and he has to be taken out of the game. Steve Kerr takes him out of the game. So then a little bit later during the course of the game, I guess there was some interaction between him and a fan is saying some things that he shouldn't be saying to Draymond Green. And I get that. Like, there's that part of it. You don't appreciate it as a Wolves fan, as an NBA fan, as a sports fan. I think that many times us as fans, we crossed the line. And clearly that happened last night.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't excuse his actions. And so what does he do instead of addressing the media? He went on a rant, a very quick rant that we're going to play for you, and he dipped out of the arena because he said that there was an agenda against him that he did not want to be a part of. We're going to have Josh Wheeler play it quickly.
Look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family, and I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
Okay, all right. To Draymond Green, I will say this. I'm sick of you, okay, because this is all about deflection. This is all about not wanting to be accountable for his actions. And let me start with the first talking point. The media is not out to get Draymond Green. Draymond Green has built up this reputation that he has for himself as being kind of a out of control, super overly aggressive, angry guy, because that's the way that he has played. It has helped him throughout his basketball career. And to make it seem as though the media is creating some sort of narrative about Draymond Green, to me, is, number one, it's not true. And secondly, how dare you try to say that the media is has an agenda against you, number one. Number two, the history of who you are and what you've been on the basketball court is what everyone is concerned with, okay? Number one, or number two. Who said last night that he's not a good father? Who last night said that you don't have a great family? No one cares about any of that. Everything that you do on the basketball court is what gets talked about. So for him to try to go down this road and make this commentary and make this rant and this statement, it's all deflection. It's not going to work. And you're talking about being an angry black man and all that stuff. You being black has nothing to do with anything. Draymond Green, I'm over you. We're tired of it. And this narrative that we in the media are out to get you, I think, is just a bad look. And I actually, when I hear that commentary and when I saw that video, I quite frankly was embarrassed for him, because that's not anything that he should have done. What you do as a veteran is you face the crowd, you acknowledge that you had a flagrant foul, you acknowledge that you made a mistake, and then you move on with the rest of your life. But this is Draymond Green sulking, trying to create, when we talk about narratives, he's trying to create a narrative that the media is out to get him, and that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Draymond Green has earned this reputation.
Absolutely.
I mean, Draymond screwed Draymond. Let's just put it out there. Draymond Green has nobody to blame but himself for putting himself in this situation. I don't know what the fan said last night. Sometimes fans, as you know, Henry, they get a little froggy. Fans get a little out of pocket.
For sure.
But they know that they can needle Draymond because he makes himself a target. Whatever the fans said to get kicked out of Target Center, mm-hmm. Probably justified, because there's a lot of things that are said that probably should not be said.
Yeah.
But the angry black man stereotype, it is ridiculous. It absolutely is reflection. And I would say that Draymond Green actually gets more rope than most.
He does.
Because after that happened, there are a lot of these, you know, flailing with the elbows to make it look like a basketball
play.
Cussing
out the officials.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many players would commit that foul and then be able to go over to the official, get in the official's face before Steph Curry had to intervene?
Draymond.
They gave Draymond a lot of rope. And let's face it, like, this is the reputation. This is Draymond Green's persona. This is his quote-unquote gimmick. So this is who Draymond Green is. If you want to change that perception, then change how you play. But how you play is how you've gotten to that point. You can't paint yourself as the victim when you're the one that created the circumstance.
And the other thing that I hate about this entire conversation with regards to last night is that we're talking about, with regards to the Draymond situation, we're talking about somebody getting ejected from Target Center. To me, they're two totally different things, okay? Because in his commentary, in his rant, he did not bring up the patron saying whatever to him, whatever. We can try to connect the two, but I don't think that we can connect the two. And this is the reason why I say that, is because what allegedly took place with people saying inappropriate things to them and them getting ejected, that didn't happen before the flagrant foul. It happened later in the game. So one is not connected. One action is not connected to another action that a fan had towards him. And I'll say this again, and I've said this for a long, long time. Fans get out of control, and I do believe that our conduct in society with regards to games, we're not good right now.
We feel entitled as fans.
We're not in a good place, and that fan should have been ejected if they're calling him inappropriate words. And I actually, as a Minnesotan, I'm embarrassed by it because we have to do better. This makes us look bad that is even part of this conversation. And this is actually the second time that this has kind of occurred in the last 5 years, because the first time was 3 or 4 years ago with the homophobic slur that was said to Damian Lillard. And that happened at Target Center. So, Wolves fans, if you're listening, any sports fan in Minnesota, I mean, we just don't need it. Like, leave it alone. It's not part of the game. It's insulting, and it makes us look bad. And also, now we're going to give Draymond Green an out because of that? No, I'm not giving him an out because one thing did not lead to another.
Yeah, and I think I wasn't trying to loosely make the connection.
No, I'm not saying.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm just saying that's just part of the conversation all day long.
Gotcha. I just feel like, you know, for Draymond to go out, number one, fans completely get out of pocket. Yep. I get embarrassed sitting around people who will say things that could be insulting.
They're with their kids, and they're just...
Yeah, with kids, like when I do things with my 14-year-old, there are times where I'm like, I look and I'm like, do you not see that there are kids around?
Absolutely.
I mean, can you just be a little more respectful, not even to the players, but just to your fellow fans? But yeah, for Draymond, people know how to needle Draymond. And I'm not saying it's right, but at the end of the day, when it comes to that play, how many times have it happened in Game 7 against the Rockets? I can't remember who it was. It was the same situation.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially in Minnesota, he's going to take some heat because of what happened with Rudy a couple years ago.
No question. 651-461-9226. Henry Lake on location, Inbound Brewing. Stop on over. They've got a live band that's going to be performing at 7:15, I believe. I'll double check that here in the break. But we got Twins baseball tonight, and then after, we've got Final Pitch a little bit later. Let's talk some Twins baseball, and we'll do that next here on the Lake Show. We are at Inbound Brewing in the North Loop, just a couple of blocks over from Target Field. Twins facing the San Francisco Giants this evening, 7:10 first pitch. John Vita is coming up in just a matter of moments with the pregame show. But the Twins, fresh off of the Baltimore Orioles sweep, have won 5 consecutive games. I was a little bit surprised how well they played in Boston. It seems like we never really truly play that well in Boston.
No, we don't.
But they won the final 2 games of that series and then into Baltimore, and now you're facing a really good opponent in the San Francisco Giants. But there's a few things here. And by the way, tonight, the starting pitcher for the Minnesota Twins is Chris Paddock. I always have questions about Chris Paddock because he's a question mark. You don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Will he give you a strong 4 or 5? And strong, I'm being sarcastic, strong 4 or 5, because he doesn't go deep into games. But you look at Chris Paddock, he's starting to pitch a little bit better, and he's not going long in these games, but he's not giving up a ton of runs, right? And so if we can go out there and give him a little bit of run support, that will ease the burden on one Chris Paddock, number one. Number two, I said this to you, I'm going to say maybe 2.5, 3 weeks ago. I'll bring it up because I feel like I'm right and you're wrong, which I like to do at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we have to allow, because I can already sense it from the fans, you got to let Royce Lewis ease into things, okay? Royce Lewis is struggling, okay? Royce Lewis just got off of the injured list. Don't assume and expect Royce Lewis to just step into the lineup, to step into the batter's box, and he's going to be like all world. Because that's what we expect. Because last year, remember every time he would get hurt and he would come back, he would just immediately start crushing home runs. And so that's what everybody believes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's what everybody believes Royce Lewis is going. Well, you've fallen into that too, because you said a few weeks ago, you're like, oh, you know, Royce Lewis, superstar. And I'm like, there's no way that you can look at Royce Lewis and call him a superstar, or star for that matter, in Major League Baseball. Sample size, way too small. He has to prove it for a lot longer for us to jump to calling him a star in Major League Baseball. The sample size is too small. and it's because of the injuries. So now, one of the things that I have noticed since he's been back, though, is, and maybe this will just be him for I don't know how long, but maybe you guys have noticed it too. When Royce Lewis hits a ground ball, he's not running the same way to first base like he typically does.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking it back a gear, okay? Because of the muscle injuries, the torn ACLs and stuff like that. And look, I'm not mad at him. I think that that's what he should do. He needs to err on the side of caution.
Absolutely.
Because he's just had way too many injuries. So I applaud him for that. You got to put, especially when there's obvious ground outs, dude, don't put the wear and tear on your legs a little bit. People got upset last year with Carlos Correa. And Carlos Correa, remember he had what was the injury?
The plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. Look, Carlos is not Byron Buxton. You know, these guys are not. Who's the guy from the Cincinnati Reds?
Ellie De La Cruz.
We don't expect you to be that. So if you hit a grounder to short, you know what? Take your time, man.
Yeah.
Take your time. And I'm not saying don't put in any effort, but maximum effort when you know it's going to be pretty much an out. Just chill out.
No way to throttle it down.
Yes, I've noticed that about Royce. I appreciate that. And look, I'm not down on him. It's going to take some time, but I am not by any means ready to crown him yet.
I have no problems in saying I think Royce Lewis is a star. I have no problems in saying that.
I do.
Okay, well, I have no problems in saying that. His swing, it was looking good before he got hurt in spring training. This is essentially an extended spring training. I think when we look at Royce Lewis's history, he comes back, makes a bang. Comes back with a bang. So naturally, we're thinking, okay, well, he's going to come back and he's just going to pick it up because that's what he's shown in his brief history. Even though at the end of the day, it is going to take him a little bit to get his swing back. Absolutely. I will say I do think that's it's good that if it was going to happen, it happened at the beginning of the season when the weather was cold. So it won't take him as long to warm up. He will find his groove. There's no question. Royce is going to find his groove.
Now, let's be fair. Royce Lewis gets hurt in cold and warm weather.
Why are you the wet blanket, man? I'm trying to be an optimistic guy here.
I'm just being honest. I'm being real.
Yeah, this is an extended spring training for Royce. So, I mean, if we don't see the Royce Lewis that we're used to until maybe the beginning of June, I'm okay with that. I'm okay as long as he stays healthy and throttling down. I think you're starting to see guys know when to push it, when not to push it. And I'm perfectly okay with that. You're not, you know, playing for the Atlanta Braves that you're going to get pulled if you don't, you know, hustle out a ground ball. We know all about that.
Let me ask you this, because we clearly don't see eye to eye on the star, like him being referred to as a star or looked upon as a star. What is the sample size in sports for you to call somebody a star?
I don't think it's necessarily about sample size.
Oh, it has to be.
Okay. Would you consider,
it has to be.
Would you consider Paul Skeens a star? Because he came up last year after a handful of starts started the All-Star game for the National League. And that's a smaller sample size than Royce Lewis.
Hold on, smaller sample size?
Yeah, because Paul Skeens has been in the major leagues less than Royce Lewis.
He's probably...
But he's a star.
But he hasn't missed time. I don't think it's... If you're talking about... So since Paul Skeens has been brought up to the big leagues, he hasn't missed hardly near as... He hasn't missed any time. Look, we can debate this another day. John Vitas is coming up next here with the pregame for the Twins. Inbound Brewing, stop on over, enjoy some Twins baseball, and we'll talk to you after the game with Final Pitch.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.